Genesis 22. We're going to start there with the Christmas story. Do you believe that? You can believe it because I would not lie to you. God is called in the scripture by many different names, each name indicative of some characteristic that he wants to emphasize in somebody's life. He wants them to know this about himself because that's what they need in order to be successful. Now, you remember that Abraham and Sarah had no child. God promised them a child. And for over 25 years, that didn't happen. Now, there's a reason for that. And the reason was corrected by Almighty God when he came to Abraham. Abraham was about 99. And he came to Abraham and he said, "Say, my name is Abraham, the father of nations." He put his word and his promise in Abraham's mouth. For over those years, Abraham was talking perhaps negatively, but he did not say, you know, what you believe, you must say. What you believe, you must say. And if you do believe it, you will say it. You know, I was at a lady's house. She's baking a pound cake, and she said, "Have you ever had my aunt's pound cake?" I said, "No, ma'am." I don't know how she thought I would have had a piece, but anyway, moving on. She said, "You should have a piece, but I can't let you have a piece of this when it's going to somebody's house." Well, I was glad for that. That's fine. I have a good recipe myself, which I use once a year. And she kept on and on and on. Finally, I said, "Well, just write it down for me. Just write it down for me." And so she wrote it down. And I think I still got it in my file. It's been probably 30 years. I haven't used it. But she wanted to be sure that I heard, that I believed what she believed, that this was the best recipe for pound cake she'd ever eaten. It may have been the only one she'd ever eaten. I don't know. Now, Abraham, his name was Abram, which means father of a multitude. And God said when he was 99, "You need to change your name and call yourself Abraham." Because when he changed his name, he's saying, "I'm the father of nations." He's putting the promise of God in his mouth after all those years. And that is what made the difference. Now, he was 100 when Isaac was born. Sarah was 90. And when Isaac was, in the 22nd chapter, a young man, he's not a baby, he's a young man, the Lord said, "You take him to Mount Moriah and you sacrifice him on the altar." This is a startling command for a man who waited 100 years for a child, and that child was supernaturally birthed. But it says, and here's the key, Abraham rose up early the next morning, he's quick to obey. Do you see that? Quick to obey, rose up early the next morning, quick to obey, and he took Isaac and two young men and wood and headed to Mount Moriah, which was a 3 days' journey. And when he got there, Isaac said, "Well, Dad, where is the sacrifice?" Now, look at this. Listen very carefully. Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb." He didn't say God will provide for himself a lamb. He did not say God will provide for himself a lamb. He said God will provide himself a lamb. God will provide of himself a lamb. And this is the type of the crucifixion, our Lord, that's written here. Now, when he takes Isaac to the top of the mountain, he left the servants at the foot of the mountain, and he raised a knife to stab Isaac, to kill Isaac, according to the command of the Lord. Now, when you read the scripture, you don't believe something, or you don't see something, you don't understand something, just believe it anyway. And when you get to heaven, they'll let you watch the movie and you can ask your question. Okay? Now, he said, "Lay not your hand upon the child." And there was caught in the thicket a ram. God had provided a ram instead of Isaac. Depending on Abraham's obedience, he had already provided for the sacrifice through the ram, and the ram was sacrificed. Now, when God calls himself, when God deals with people, especially in the Old Testament, he deals with particular names because God is great big. And he called himself, and it's in verse 14, Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. That means the Lord will provide, or it means the Lord will see and provide, or the Lord will see ahead and provide, which I particularly like. The Lord sees ahead and provides. He saw ahead Abraham's obedience, and he provided the ram, and he told him, I will provide myself a lamb. You see that? Now, Jehovah Jireh was what Abraham needed to hear. God is many things. He has seven or eight, depending upon what author you read, what call redemptive names. There are double names. Jehovah means the one who sees ahead and provides. And there's Jehovah Raya, the shepherd, and Jehovah Rapha, the healer, and Jehovah Nissi, the captain of victory. All of those indicate some part of God's personality. But he chose this one because this is what Abraham needed. See, he knows you. He knows exactly what you need to hear. This is what Abraham, he didn't need to know about the healer right now. He didn't need to know about the captain right now. He said, Jehovah Jireh, God will see ahead. God will provide. And God had provided, you see. If you go to Judges 6, you have the story of Gideon. And they called Gideon to deliver Israel from the Midianites. He didn't really think he's qualified. He said, you know, I'm the least in my family, and my family is the poorest in Israel. He's trying to tell God, you've made a mistake. I'm not the one you need. You ever felt that about a divine assignment? He said, I'm not the one. He's talking to an angel, but he does not know he's talking to an angel. And when he found out he was talking to an angel, he was petrified. It said he was very afraid. And God called himself Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. That's what Gideon needed to hear. Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. God identifies who he is depending upon your need, depending upon what you need to hear. See, Gideon didn't need to know about the healer, Jehovah Rapha. He didn't need to know about the shepherd, Jehovah Raya. He didn't need to know about the captain. He didn't need to know about Jehovah Nessie or Jehovah Sidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. What he needed to know was that God was a God of peace. Now, Christmas is an emphasis on the God of peace. When the shepherds came, when the angels came to the shepherds, what did they say? Now listen, read your Bible very carefully. It does not say they were singing. Amen. They were not singing. They were saying. It was a group recitation, so to speak. And they said, peace on earth. That was God's goal. That was his aim. That was his intent. Peace on earth is Jehovah's Shalom. That was what God came to do, was to establish peace. And he's going to establish peace through his only begotten Son. And when you receive the only begotten Son in your heart, then you are a participant in the peace that was provided through the Son. Peace on earth. Goodwill toward men. Now, if you have a strange disease or even a common disease, I didn't have many childhood diseases, but I remember having chicken pox, and this little lady who was somebody's aunt kept three of us. There were three of us at the same, we probably went to the same school, who knows, that stayed with her. And we all laid in her big bed, and she waited on us all day. And that's the only disease. Well, my brother gave me measles when I was 16, so that wasn't any fun, but that's all I remember. But you see, God wants you to have peace. And you can't have peace with the measles. Because Wayne and I were dating, and that was an interference to my love life. You understand that?
Yes.
Well, we had just begun at 16, but we were well on the way. What can I say? Peace on earth. Disease interferes with your peace. Pain is disagreeable. Peace on earth. So when God said peace on earth, he included spirit, soul, and body. He included your entire life. It's not that you'll have peace in your heart and you'll get to go to heaven when you die. See, a lot of churches, that's all they emphasize. Jesus becomes your Savior. They don't even talk about the resurrection, usually. But it's the Scripture talks, we are to confess him as the resurrected Lord, as a resurrected master or owner. We can't just stand at the cross and say he's Savior, because that's only the beginning. It was a two-part deal, and the second part was the resurrection. And when you stand at the cross, when you kneel at the cross, you need to stand at the empty tomb and sit sometime in the upper room and be baptized in the Spirit. It goes that far. That's what God did to provide for you. Now, 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, the very God of peace. Who?
Peace.
The God of who?
Peace.
There are some things that happen in life that disturb your peace. Disease being one. Lack of finances being one. Insurance difficulties being one. And at Christmas time, there's always somebody that has a family gathering that's going to be difficult. Is that you? I know you're out there because there's always one. One lady came years ago and she said, my brother's coming at Christmas time. Well, I'm not one to ask questions. That keeps me out of trouble. Then when you say, what's wrong with her? I say, I don't know. I didn't ask any questions. But I know God will carry you because he's the God of peace. No matter what the circumstance, God will carry you and you will have peace. You will not be agitated, disturbed. We read last week, John 14:1, it says, let not your heart be troubled, agitated, distressed. And your heart is not distressed or troubled because the God of peace is with you. He said, I will never leave you or forsake you. That's Jehovah Shammah, the God who's always with you. That's in Hebrews 13. God will never leave you. So if you're stressed out, you're not paying attention to him who's standing by your side and who dwells in your spirit. Now, would you bring me markers, please, sir? The very God of peace, listen, sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, the God of peace is going to what? And I pray God, your whole spirit, soul, and body. That means peace is for my spirit, soul, and body. It's not just that I get to go to heaven when I die. In the meantime, thank you, dear. In the meantime, I hang in there, do the best I can. Take a deep breath. It'll all be over in about 80 or 100 years. I've changed my mind about 60 to 80 because that doesn't happen anymore. Everybody out. Mama's brother's still living. It's a wonderful thing when you can live long upon the earth and you're enjoying yourself. Now here, you were born, and there's what the church calls an age of accountability. It's not a scriptural term, but it's an okay term. There came a day when Romans 7 says, sin arrived and I died. There came a day when this spirit man, you were not born a sinner. God makes the spirit of man, and he doesn't make sinners. You understand that? There came a day when this, let's just say this spirit man, Paul calls it the inward man. This flesh would be the outward man. And there came a day when you were aware of sin and you chose sin and the spirit died. Now you need to be rescued. You can't live that way and have peace. But when you are aware of the cross and the death and the resurrection, hallelujah, the inward man gets born again through your confession of faith. And the Holy Spirit comes to live. And the outward man is not born again. So he's going to try to trip you up. You notice that? Mm-hmm. Anybody notice that? Mm-hmm. Try to trip you up? Yeah. Now you have the soul, which is the mind, will, and emotion. And Romans 12 says the soul is supposed to be renewed. Renewed. You know you renew your magazine subscription? Well, we don't. We found out we don't read them, so we quit doing that. But this soul cannot stay in the state it was in when you were in a sinner. It has to be changed, and it's changed by Bible study, by meditation, by the Holy Spirit bringing revelation and going to the soul and teaching the soul so that the soul responds to the Spirit and not to the flesh. Now, the Scripture says, crucify the flesh. But listen, this is it. For the lust, not everything the flesh tells you is a matter of lust. If it says that's a stop sign, it has nothing to do with lust. It doesn't have to be crucified. Just stop at the sign. But there are a lot of things that lust is a strong desire, especially for that which is forbidden. And when the flesh leads you in that direction, the key is, will the soul agree with the flesh, or will it agree with the spirit? And only if it agrees with the spirit are you going to have peace. Yes, you get that? Yes. You can't have peace following your flesh. First of all, I don't know what kind of student you were in school, but sometimes your flesh will lead you astray and you don't do as well as you thought you would do. Do you remember that test? I was always tripping them up because I was a gifted student and I had the ability to memorize. It's not that I understood anything, I could just remember it. And chemistry, I about bottomed out in, because you can't memorize chemistry. You have to understand it. You have to put the piece. I couldn't do putting pieces together. But in biology, see, your mind will lead you to victory. And if your soul and your spirit work together, you're going to have the peace that the God of peace came to bring to earth. Spirit, soul, and body is the arena of peace. Not just your spirit. You're born again. You get to go to heaven when you die. That's a very shallow understanding of the magnitude of what the scripture has done for us through Jesus' sacrifice. Now, the teacher said the biology test would be from the glossary, so I didn't stay home on purpose, but I had a migraine that day. I had migraines till I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, never had another one. Because if God be for you. And anyway, so I memorized the glossary and quoted it from A to Z. I couldn't even come close to that today. Sometimes I can't remember where my scriptures are, but it wasn't understanding. See, and the Holy Ghost in the Spirit is going to teach you all things. He's going to bring revelation. He's going to bring understanding. And as you're meditating over a period of weeks and years, you're going to begin to understand some things. And those things that you begin to understand when established in the Spirit and established in the soul are going to lead you to peace. Even if God says you ought to correct that, that correction is going to lead you to peace. Once you correct it, you're going to be so glad you did, you see. Now, Abraham, God identified as Jehovah Jireh, because that's what Abraham needed to hear. He chose the name. Now, my mother intended, my name's Rebecca Suzanne. I was named after my grandmother's. One was Beulah Suzanne and one was Letty Rebecca. And the good news is I was not Letty Beulah. That would have been harsh. Mother intended me to call Becky Sue, but that didn't happen. It was very brief. Aunt Millie used to always call me Becky Sue because she didn't live here and she only saw me, you know, when I was born. And Mama said, this is little Becky Sue. So that's how that happened. Everybody else dropped the Sue. School dropped the Sue. I was just Becky, except on my driver's license. And at the medical clinics and several places require your, you know, your real name. And so Rebecca is my real name. The God of peace is part of God's real name. That's who he is. And that was his intent. When the angels spoke, when they came in a group, the first angel made the announcement, Luke chapter 2, and then the group began to say, not sing, say, peace on earth. Are you on earth? Yes. Then that peace includes you. Are there things that would disturb your peace? The carpet in front of my bathroom is really distressing. Wayne and I both get distressed. And we have a housekeeper. And Wayne always cleans the carpet in front of the bathroom before the housekeeper comes. She's a love, too. And we're glad to see her come. That point of distress is just a little square of carpet. Because everybody goes in and out of the bathroom, in and out of the bathroom, in and out of the bathroom. And the more you come, the dirtier it gets, the dirtier it gets, the thinner it gets. You understand that? My mother's carpet in the dining room. She and Daddy always sat in the dining room. And there at the table where they always had their feet, the carpet was flat and brown. It was technically teal colored, but there were spots that you couldn't tell exactly, you know. See, no matter what the circumstances, the peace that you got the day you were born again, the nature of God includes peace, and now you have eternal life, which is the nature of God. Eternal life does not mean to live forever. The sinner has going to live forever, but he doesn't have eternal life. Eternal life means having the life of the eternal one, the very life and nature of God. And when you have the life of nature of God, one thing you have access to at all times is peace. Now, look at the ministry of Paul. Let me show you something. Second Corinthians? Do y'all know? I believe it is. Chapter. It's a wonder I know anything today. God, thank you for helping me. Chapter 4. Paul said, seeing we have this ministry, we receive mercy, we faint not. You know, there are instances in life that put a lot of pressure on you. You just want to faint, give up, quit, surrender. He said, we're not going to faint here. He said, we have received mercy. Well, mercy is part of the nature and characteristic of God. You got saved because of his mercy and his sacrifice. And that mercy is available every day for you, as is his peace. See, what we do with our confession, we emphasize the negative. Well, I don't know what I'll ever do. This man came to me and he wanted prayer about a certain issue. And this is what he said. This is almost a quote. He said, oh, tell God he has to do it. He has to do it. You understand? He has to do this for me. Tell him he must do this for me. And he's yelling at me. Well, we're not in faith. Nothing I say is going to work. A desperate prayer doesn't work. Did you know that? So I prayed, but not exactly like he expected. Because we have to come to trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust. And I trust, just like Paul did. Now, Paul was stoned in front of a city and left for dead, and he got up and went back into the city. He was let down over a wall in a basket to protect his life. He was shipwrecked and landed on an island where he ministered to the people. He had a lot of difficult things happen to him, but he seemed to always overcome and continue working. It's because he knew God, and he knew what was in him, and he drew from the peace, and he drew from the Spirit which gave him. See, at the shipwreck, the angel told him, nobody's going to die here. Well, these people, it was a loaded ship, and they were already thrown the cargo over, and now they're getting ready to take down the lifeboats and take everybody to shore. And God said, you do that, you'll die. See, because he knew God. You know God, and nothing that happens to you is going to distress you. You're going to have peace beyond understanding. You're going to expect the mercy of God and the love of God to give you the direction. And you're going to be just cool. What do we used to say, cool as a cucumber? I'm not sure. Cucumber's only cool if you put it in the refrigerator and eat it right away because they rot quickly. But when you look to him and you know who he is, and he said, God is our peace and he's your peace, and you can expect to overcome. Now look. Paul said, first of all, we're not going to faint. We're not going to give up. We're not going to quit. We're not going to surrender. We're not going to say, I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, my brother's coming for Christmas. That's what the lady said. Well, I'm sympathetic, sort of, but I don't know exactly why we're afraid of him. Now, look, here's what Paul said in verse 8. Are you there? We're troubled on every side. Do you see that? Every's got trouble in the front, trouble in the back, trouble on the left, trouble on the right. Everywhere he goes, he's in trouble. And what do you say? I'm not distressed about it. You and I, we say, oh God, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Do I have enough money? My back is killing me. My neighbor's obnoxious. I can say that with great peace because we don't actually have a neighbor. He's not distressed. He had every reason to be distressed. When's the last time you were stoned left for dead? He said, I'm not distressed about that. That's amazing, isn't it? Because the God of peace, he is our peace, who has made both one and broken down the wall of partition between us, Ephesians 2. He is our peace. And the scripture, the New Testament, frequently says God is the God of peace. And I like the emphasis on peace. And then he says, we're perplexed. That word perplexed means we don't have a clue what to do. Have you ever been there? Yes. I mean, I'm just confused and I don't know what to do. I don't know when to do it, how to do it, how much it's going to cost me. That's usually our first question. What is this going to cost? So you lost your peace over money, didn't you? Huh? Y'all look really innocent, but I know you're not. He said, we're perplexed. He said, I don't know what to do, but I'm not in despair. The word despair means needing help. He said, I don't need any help. Why? Because he knew God in him. He knew God in him. He knew who God was in him. He knew the mercy of God. He knew God said, fear thou not, I am with thee. Now, God is not, we don't have any children here, right? I don't want to blow anybody's, whatever you do with your children, but God is not like Santa Claus. Santa Claus is not helping you. He's simply writing down what you did or didn't do. He's just making a list. God is your helper. Yes. By the Spirit, He's going to help you. He's going to give you direction. He's going to make correction. He's going to orchestrate your footsteps when we listen to Him. And He dwells in us and in this inward man. When the inward man, by the Spirit, teaches the soul, then the inward man and the soul can outsmart the outward man when it goes astray. And the flesh frequently goes astray. Now, if you drive a car on the highway, you'll know flesh goes astray. Have you seen those people? You're not one of those people, right? Huh? I hope not. And then he says, we're persecuted. That means somebody's always on your case. If you worked in an office for very long, there was always somebody that was aggravating. Do you remember them? I remember one of my bosses, when Wayne was in the military, we lived in Columbus, Georgia, and I had a couple different jobs. And one of those jobs, they hired a new man, and he was always on my case about something, pushing me. And I got so irritated. One day, he didn't show up. He didn't ever come back again. But his check kept going to him. And I figured he was under contract, and when they got tired of him, like I was already tired of him, they mailed him his check, because I know he got his check. He was obnoxious. See, we're not going to be those kind of people. But they see you coming, and they say, ah, it's Melba. Who invited Melba? Did you go to that dinner Melba showed up? I use Melba because there's not usually a Melba. Does anybody know a Melba? Oh, see, good choice. He said, we're persecuted but not forsaken. You know the song, we shall overcome. We shall overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. I shall overcome. We can overcome. Why? Because the God of peace lives in me, and He's going to direct me by His mercy to walk in peace, to make the decision, to trust Him no matter what the difficulty. I don't have to be afraid. He's here. Jehovah Shammah, He said, I will not ever leave you. Now, sometimes I'm not aware of His presence, but He is here. He said, I will not leave you or forsake you. He said, I will uphold you. In other words, I'm not going to fall on my nose and be distressed. You know what distressed people do? They either fall into deep, dark silence or they're verbal. You notice that? They have a lot to say. Okay. Cast down but not destroyed. And the translator said that says knocked down but not knocked out. I love that translation. Knocked down. Sometimes what knocked us down was our own words, what we said. Can you see how cool Paul was in the most difficult circumstances? He wasn't uptight, strung out. Why? Because of God of peace. Sanctifies you wholly, and I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. It's not just God died for your spirit. He died to give you the life and nature of Almighty God. And with that life and nature, He expects me to learn and to grow and to affect my mind and to train my mind to think in line with His word and to know when my flesh is deep into strong desire that's forbidden and when it's simply letting me know this is a stop sign. Everybody's got that? Well, The God of peace is with you. Look at Isaiah 9:6. This is the promise of Jesus. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and what? Prince of Peace. That's part of his job assignment. That's who he is and who he brings into my life. He brings to me the peace of God. He lives in me and brings to me the peace of God. If I get knocked down, I'm going to be able to get up. Knocked down, but not knocked out. Perplexed, but not in despair. Because I have within me the key to a successful life, and it's the Holy Ghost teaching me the Word of God and me lining up my footsteps with what is being said. You see that? He's a God of peace. Now, look at Romans 10. Then I'll give you the synopsis that I think I gave you last week. Verse 15. How shall they preach except they be sent, as is written? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the what? The gospel of peace. Preach what? The God of peace sent the Prince of Peace with the gospel of peace to declare peace on earth. Amen. And that peace on earth is supposed to affect my entire life, spirit, soul, and body. That means when I look in the mirror and my hair looks like curly hair, you look sometimes. I don't go, oh no, don't freak out. I go right to Wayne. I said, don't you think it's sticking out a little more here than it should? Don't you want to? And he's moderately cooperative. He's always cooperative. He does my hair every day. You knew that, right? It brings me great peace. It brings me great peace. I don't have to do it myself. He came with a gospel of peace. The good news about peace. And the gospel of peace is written. And all I have to do is read what is written, meditate on what's written, and follow what is written. And then when my flesh speaks, now look at Romans 8. When my flesh speaks up to me, I can say, no, you're not tricking me. You are not tricking me. That is not an avenue of the God of peace. Now it talks about, verse 6, chapter 8, to be carnally minded is death. That means you're headed in the wrong direction. Death, destruction, despondency, despair. The carnal is, you know, carnivores are flesh-eating animals. So the carnal mind is the mind and the flesh working together. And that's the wrong direction. I don't take directions from my body, from my flesh. Why? It doesn't know anything. It only knows stop signs, red lights. It can read detour signs. To carnally minded. That means, how do you know that? Well, that's what I sensed. That's what I felt. That's what I heard. That's the way I see it. Wrong, 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 and wrong. Because my information comes from God, the Holy Ghost, and from the Word of God that He explains to me and teaches me that dwells in the human spirit, in the inward man. Then it says, to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. The spiritual mind is when the spirit of man that's born again, that has God's life and nature, gets its information from the soul. The soul is being renewed constantly. There's a constant flow from my spirit through my daily meditation to my soul. And my soul, my mind is getting stronger and stronger into the Word. See, when I came to Pentecost, the Lord dealt with me and He said, somebody's going to ask you to teach. I couldn't have been more surprised. I'm not a teacher. Never was a teacher. Didn't expect to be a teacher. And here I am, 50 years later, isn't it? A long time later. And sure enough, they came. Now, if the Spirit of God hadn't led me, I wouldn't have known that. I would have said, oh, no, you need to ask somebody else. You know what I knew? I'd been in church all my life. I knew John 3:16. I knew the Roman road to salvation. For all of sin comes short of the glory of God. The wage of sin is death. The gift of God's eternal life. God commended His love towards us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. Whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what I knew, because that's what we memorized as children. The Roman road to salvation is called. That's all I knew. And I said to the lady, Well, okay, and I'm just going to teach the love of God because I thought probably can do that. See, the God of peace had directed me that somebody was coming to ask me to teach. I would never have expected that or said yes to that because I am not a teacher. I'm a young mother, just baptized in the Holy Ghost. I mean, just about 24 hours earlier. And she said, well, our lesson's on healing. And I thought, oh, my. I said, well, I'll just teach. No, she said, no, you have to teach our lesson. She said, I'll bring you the book. So she brought me the book, and I don't know beans about healing. So I'm going to say, I'm not looping me in. I said, this man said based on this scripture, I'm blaming him, the whole thing. That's the only way I could have peace, because I don't know. I don't know anything. And I said, because of this scripture, he believes this. I'm looping me totally out of the whole lesson. I never heard of the author of the book. I don't know anything about healing. And I asked the lady, do we know that? Does God heal today? The fact that she had to have heard from God to go forward, knowing I did not know what I was doing. Okay. But I am born again. The Holy Ghost is on the inside. The God of peace is leading my footsteps. He's guiding me. And when I got up to teach, my daddy was a church musician. I'd teach a while, then I'd think of a song that went with that we always sang. You see, in the early days, a lot of your music was written before people knew how to read. And they were written to be sung to teach Bible lessons, to teach theology to the unread, to those who couldn't read. And a lot of them were written during the Civil War and before. You can get books of church history, of musical history. And I was amazed. I mean, I was brilliant. And nobody was more surprised than me. I don't know how is this happening? And she said, you've been teaching for years. I said, no, ma'am, that was my first. I did suffer Wayne's mother. She taught 6th grade Sunday school. And I did suffer one time, you know, we have a quarterly and a lesson. I did that once. That's it. But see, the Holy Ghost came. That's how you have peace. The Holy Ghost comes. He's here. And he's here to bring the gospel of peace to the people who have peace in them because they have a deposit of eternal life. You do know eternal life, the life and nature of God, is going to get better and better. This is not the end. This is the beginning. The God of peace. See, Gideon needed to know about peace. He's petrified. He saw an angel. Why that frightened him, I don't know. But if you go through the scripture, everybody thinks you see an angel, then you'll be sure. Everybody in the scripture freaked out. Almost exclusively freaked out. And that's what he did. And he freaked out. He needed to know about peace. He didn't need to know about healing, though God's a healer. He didn't need to know about his constant presence, though God is always present. He didn't need to know about the captain of victory, Jehovah Nissi. God called himself by the name that met your need. He speaks to you from your spirit to give you the information you need to walk successfully with him. You see that, don't you? So when the angel sang peace on earth, goodwill towards men, that was the seed that God had been planting all through the Old Testament. That was the seed that there would be a baby born in Bethlehem. That's in Old Testament. That he would be the Prince of Peace as well as a wonderful counselor and mighty God. God had been planting that seed, and now he announces it, peace on earth. Now, if you read Isaiah 53, you will see this. He says, he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity. That's the answer to sin. And you become a new creature, and that new creature has the life of the eternal one. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace. Peace does not necessarily mean you're calm, cool, and unflustered. That'd be good, especially if you're talking to me. calm, cool. I can do flustered, though, and unflustered. Peace means that God is here, and you recognize His presence and His leadership and His guidance in your life. And peace has to do with your total well-being, not just with your mental state or your comfort. It has to do with well-being. It's the same 3 John put it this way when the Apostle John, I'm going to read it to you. I wish above all things. Do you see that, above all things? Now, we used to travel overseas, and Joel was still living at home. That's where he got married. And above all things, the thing he only had one priority above everything else was to feed the dog. See, we hired a lady who was going to stay at my house, who did not stay at my house, and I had 7 cans of dog food, and only 2 or 3 were ever opened. She did not stay. She did not feed my dog. When I left Joel there, I like if he would put the dishes in the dishwasher. That'd been nice. But all I wanted from him was, be sure you feed the dog. Now, the dog had a doggy door, so he didn't have to walk or anything. He says, I wish above all things. This is what God wants for you as His child, with His life above anything else. This is what He wants you to prosper. That means that you have a successful journey. It has the same meaning as peace. Peace is your journey through life. It's what God has provided for you. And He says that you prosper, you have a successful journey, and be in health. That spirit, soul, and body. God is brought you peace, brought you provision, spirit, soul, and body. Not just spirit. Spirit, soul, and body. And then He said, even as your soul prospers. That's the soul that has to prosper, that has to be renewed in the Word of God, that has to grow in God, that has to learn more, that knows more today than it knew yesterday. Because we're diligent. Now here's how your soul prospers. It's in the following verse. I rejoice greatly. Do you see when God sees you on the right path, how He feels about you? He said, look at her, look at her, look at her. Wouldn't that how you rejoice greatly? I mean, is that how you would rejoice greatly? Isn't that how you rejoice over your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren? Do we have any great-grandchildren? Huh. Testified of the truth that's in thee. Where is the truth? The truth about God? It's in the human spirit. It came with eternal life, and it comes and it grows in you as you read and pray and study, and as the Holy Ghost teaches you. It says He teaches you all things, brings all things to your remembrance, guides you into truth, and shows you things to come. And He's in you, doing you His job. As I depend upon Him, I'm getting smarter and smarter and smarter. I'm knowing more about God than I ever know. And the more I know about God, the more I can walk with Him. And the more I walk with Him, the more of His peace I experience. That's what Christmas came. It came to begin the fulfillment of what had been promised all through the Old Testament. Okay. I rejoice greatly when the brethren came to testify truth that's in them, even as you walk in the truth. You've got to know the truth and walk in the truth in order to grow in the truth. You can't grow in something that you don't know. Now, Wayne and I are masters of certain desserts. We bake 1 or 2 or 3 every Christmas. And this year, because of some sicknesses in the family, we altered the recipe just a little bit to make it more conducive for what's going on in their body. And it didn't work. We altered it, and it didn't work. And we couldn't figure out why it didn't work. And somebody said, you're going to make that again? I said, absolutely not. I'm going to buy a poinsettia. Forget the pie. I tried. And then we figured out what might have happened to it. See, and only as I followed the Word of God am I going to have the peace of God. And it says I'm supposed to know the truth and walk in the truth. In other words, the fact that I know the truth, but I'm not doing the truth is not going to help me. I've got to do the truth. I've got to know what God has said to me. Now, let me quit with this verse. Y'all got it? Peace? Yes. See, and if I find myself stressed out, has that ever happened to you? Mm-hmm. A little stressed out? You know what you know about yourself? You let your mind reject the truth. You ditched the truth. You ditched what God was saying and went with your flesh. It always gives you the report of, this is what I see. Okay. If you continue in my word, this is how you're going to know the truth. You know how to continue in the cake, right? you continue in my word, then are you my disciples. Those that are learning and growing in God, who've committed their life to God, are going to be readers and studiers to continue in the truth. You shall know the truth. And what happens when I know the truth? Truth will set you free. I'm going to be free because I know the truth, and it's the truth practiced. And when the truth is practiced, I have what? Peace beyond understanding. Peace beyond understanding. Peace. Wouldn't you like to have peace this Christmas instead of frustration, aggravation, irritation? Would you like to say there's trouble on every side, but I am not distressed. And some of us, somebody would look at you and say, are you sure you're all right? Because they're used to us being a little uptight. But today is the end of uptight. Say, today is the end of uptight. The total end. 2025 is going to be a year of perfect peace. Did you know the scripture says, thou will keep him in what?
Perfect peace.
Perfect peace. Not sort of peace, almost peace. Perfect.